Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
Sue and I were, despite being lesbians and being feminist and anti-war and all that, we were pretty conservative in that we didn't cuss in front of Jesse.
Despite being a rare two-mom family in the 1990s, Elizabeth and her partner ran the household like any other.
You know, we had our meals at the dinner table. I mean, we were a very traditional family.
Just don't tell that to their daughter, Jessie.
I'm going to interrupt you there. I don't think traditional, remember the answering machine we had where you chanted about all of the goddesses and said, please leave a message? I don't think that would be
I didn't say we were Christian.
From PureX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. And today, the story of a girl who's always had a lot to celebrate on Mother's Day. But growing up in the 90s with lesbian moms was not as common as it is today, which meant some Mother's Days got awkward.
One that really stands out is Jessie is six, and she wanted me to wear a dress on Mother's Day.
I had never seen her in a dress.
And I did.
Ever. That was the last time. I was like, my mom looks weird. That's not my mom. Please take that off. You look like you're in drag.
Jessie's desire for her mom to fit a specific ideal was far from an everyday concern, in part because from an early age, Jessie's universe was filled almost entirely with lesbians.
I lived in a log cabin where my mother literally shoveled coal in the basement to keep warm. We lived with a couple other women. The thought of them being a lesbian or being straight, it didn't cross my mind. It wasn't on my radar at all who these women were or who they dated or who they loved. It was, we just lived with these women. And like, well, who doesn't live in a log cabin in the South with lesbians? Because I do, so that's all I know.
Eventually, the family traded in their cabin in Kentucky for the West Coast. There, Jessie encountered lots of straight people and learned that maybe having gay moms wasn't as typical as she thought.
It wasn't until other people got involved and I discovered that there was hatred for what was not understood.
And a couple of girls in the neighborhood really didn't like that Jessie had two moms.
It started out with just some name calling. And then it progressed on to following me home, throwing rocks at me. I remember one time we found a dead rabbit in the mailbox that was wrapped like a present.
So things got bad. Rabbits were dying.
Every time we drove by them on this little country road we lived on, they would call us faggots and say that they were going to burn our house down. It got so bad that we went to the principal of the school, and these two little girls had to be last off the bus. Jessie had to get up the hill just in order for her to be safe in coming home.
So the final straw was when the girl stood on her front porch and, as I walked by, followed my walk with the scope of her gun. That's when we were like, okay,
we're moving.
The family up and moved to Ashland, Oregon, a much more accepting community. But Jessie's perspective had already done a 180. She'd gone from thinking having two moms was perfectly normal to thinking it was anything but.
I completely changed my identity and shoved my mother's into the closet.
So here are my journal entries starting from 1992 when I was 12 years old. Dear Diary. Hi, my name is Jessie. and I live in Oregon. I'm 12 years old. I have no boyfriends at the moment, but I wish I did. I have two pubic hairs. My mom says I will probably start my period soon, and then I can get my ears pierced. Dear Diary, so my mom is gay. So what? I mean, what is the big deal? So she lives with a woman. Who cares? Well, I'll tell you who cares. I do. I want a dad just like everyone else. But then again, if it's not one thing, it's another. I'd rather have my mom be gay than do drugs or be Baptist. Not that there's anything wrong with being Baptist. I just would not like it personally. Dear Diary, what if I don't fit in? And what if they find out my mom is a lesbian? It's nothing to be ashamed of, but that's why I had no friends in California. Well, but then again, it could have been because I dressed like a nerd and acted like an idiot and looked like a dog with a haircut that sucked. I tried so hard to fit in, but it just didn't work. I made a fool of myself. Well, not this year.
I was obsessed with the idea that when we moved to Ashland, I would be a different person and have a different life, all different levels. I absolutely dreamed of being the hot, popular girl because I thought that is where your worries and your troubles melt away, is if you're beautiful and loved. I would now go by Jessica. I would start looking at fashion magazines that I had no interest in. I remember tentatively asking my moms if it was okay if I started to shave my legs. And I think I remember them shooting each other a look of like, uh-oh, here it goes. But they did let me kind of explore being Jessica, and they accepted that.
Dear Diary, tomorrow I start at the 8th grade, and I'm very excited but will be nervous when I see prettier girls. I haven't decided what to major in for my personality. Everyone says be myself, but myself is the ugly, unpopular daughter of a lesbian. I want to be popular, doesn't everyone? But you have to be pretty, and I do not think I am. My mom and my mom's friends always say that I'm gorgeous, and they're going to have to beat off all the boys. Not. I don't think that will ever happen. And I'm not just saying that so that people will say, oh, no, you're not. But have you ever heard a parent say to their child, yes, dear, I think you're ugly. Dear Diary, well, today I started my period. Luckily, it was not at school. Well, I have to go. We're having a becoming a woman ceremony.
I'm a strong feminist, so it seemed just like a birthday. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate. We had candles. We had a special lit dinner. We smudged, you know, with sage, you know, like the Native Americans do or the witches. And we honored Jesse. And I didn't think you were too embarrassed by it.
I was stoked because I got to have my ears pierced.
Oh, yeah, that's
finally.
Right. When she got her period.
And I got a ring. That's all I cared about. I was like, let's get this holding hands shit chanting to Mother Goddess. Let's take that down a notch. Just give me my ring. Let me get my ears pierced and let's move on.
Dear Diary, I have to tell you this. I met a potential new friend. His name is Carl, and he is perfect. He loves the rain, and he loves boxer shorts. And he's such a sweetie, but tonight all of that changed. We talked on the phone for 1.5 hours, which is 1.5 hours. And I found out the worst possible thing. It froze my heart for seconds. He's yes on 9. Which is the homophobic bill. And I can't like anyone who hates my mom. Well, gotta go shave my legs. Dear Diary, today is the first day of high school. God, I am so scared. Everything about it frightens me. I mean, it just sends chills down my spine. Here's my plan. Wear a perfect outfit. Have a JanSport bag. And blend in. So, the first day of high school came, and true to my plan to blend in, I gave an interview to a reporter for the Ashland Daily Tidings about how I was genuinely terrified. I didn't know it would make front page news. So here is an excerpt from said newspaper article. Ashley Daily Tidings, Tuesday, September 7th, 1993. It was the first day of school for teenagers in Ashland. 13-year-old Jessie Pethel, in a moment of unabashed honesty, said she was genuinely terrified of the whole concept of high school. She stood outside Ashland High School gym door this morning, unable to walk inside. About 300 new students were being seated for their first unofficial assembly. Jessie said, "It's a mixed excited fear," trying to explain the thoughts of an entering freshman who just 1 week ago was enjoying the lazy days of summer. She then added, "I don't want to walk out there and find a seat. I mean, you'd feel like you were walking down a runway. There's this fear of deciding new things and basically making choices you're going to follow for the rest of your life." She said, getting philosophical. She looked out into the distance of the jumping cheerleaders. Jesse never went inside.
So after I stopped actively hiding my mom's, actively pushing them in the closet in eighth grade, the summer between eighth grade and high school, I stopped using the word roommate. And although I wasn't throwing a parade and sticking a sign outside of our door that said I have two moms, I no longer put any energy into hiding it. If people asked, I would tell them. And it was really liberating. It felt like a huge weight was lifted off of my shoulders. But then it posed other problems.
Dear Diary, Friday sucked big time. I looked, felt, and was treated like absolute shit. I fought so hard to be invited to their girls' night out thing, and now I don't even want to go. They called me to ask me how my moms have sex. Really? Am I still getting this shit? I'm mad and I'm sad at the same time. I mean, why do I do this? Why do I make things as bad as they can be? Maybe because then it could never get worse. It sounds weird, but when I put myself down, I feel better. When I'm 30 and I'm old, I'm gonna read this and wonder what the fuck I mean. Dear Diary, I just finished freshman year. It's 9:21 p.m., and I'm listening to Janet Jackson's new tape. For the first time in my whole life, I feel like I have a life. I have friends. Here are my goals for this summer. Number one, get rid of my perm. Number two, cut down on sweets. Number three, get perfect clothes. Number four, be good at everything. Such as singing, writing, dancing, and etc. It's a new year and a new me. All the bad memories from last year are behind me and I'm ready to start fresh. I have said goodbye to the person that I was last year and I am a new person now. Well, gotta go. I have to practice my sax.
And now there's more to the story in our postmortem, Fight. We caught up with Jessie and her mom, Elizabeth, after the show and found out that for Elizabeth, getting to relive that story from her daughter's point of view was a real eye-opener.
I was shocked in many ways that it was that hard for her. And I'm grateful to understanding more clearly who Jessie is. It's been good for me to not feel too sad about it or to give myself a hard time about it. That's what I'm trying to say. Because I do know that I did the best I could.
You did it the only way you knew how to.
Right.
A therapist told me that once.
And in retrospect, Jessie realizes being raised by two moms is actually not a lot of moms at all. In part because she has a lot more now. Elizabeth and her partner Sue separated, and both have new partners, which means...
I say I have four moms and also my mother-in-law. It's all one family. But the title of mother usually goes to this one here. Yeah.
And 2 years ago, all five moms gathered for one of the best Mother's Days ever.
Jared and I, my husband and I, had them open cards all at the same time. And inside was a sonogram picture. And on Mother's Day, that's when we told them that we were expecting. So That's another highlight of Mother's Day.
And one day, when Jessie's daughter's old enough, they'll sing her the song that helped them get through their tough times.
The song that Jessie and I both have sung together is a Holly Near song called Started Out Fine. And it's the story of a woman and her man and their child. And he gets abusive and her words are... strong words of, you know, we can survive without you, and we would in fact do better. Started out fine, we were moving ahead. I was driving the car, you were combing the hair of the one in the middle.
She was loving it all, bouncing around like a rubber ball, and you thought she was just about the finest kid. I had to agree, but maybe that's because she looks like.
Whether you have four moms or just one, happy Mother's Day. You can share the shame by following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of the series. If you like Jessie's journals, she's writing a memoir about her teenage years, and you can follow her on Instagram at JessieLouPDX. That's J-E-S-S-E-L-O-O-P-D-X on Instagram. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation. Thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad-serving platform. And if your company would like to support our podcast, please email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Katie McMurrin, Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. The story was produced for the stage by Megan Zobel-Holmes, music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Big thanks to Lance Roberts Studios and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, I remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.